I'm told the number one fear people have is speaking in public. It's the one fear I don't have. Join me for the Love Speak series, where we leave fear behind and we speak love. Loving our story, loving speaking, doing what we love, loving each other, and loving ourselves. Our stories are what connect us and make us better humans. So join me and my Love Speaks friends for some stories, some laughs, some inspiration, some speaker tips, and some unexpected truth. It's the Love Speaks series, where a little bit of love goes a long way.
Welcome to the Love Speaks series. Here's your host, Sally Lou Loveman.
Okay, let's just all take a deep breath in. Paolo, my guest is here today. Let's all take, and Patrick is here. Let's all take a deep breath in and release it. Oh, there goes 2020. Yeah. Bye-bye, 2020. Happy New Year, everyone. 2020 is gone. 2021 is here. And let us all just say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Mm. I think the lesson for all of us is love wins. It's just the way. It's my statement of 2021. I'm sticking to it. Mm. So much so that I'm going to throw a house party. Yes.
Yay.
I said a house party, right, Paolo?
Yes.
Okay, fine. It's virtual. Whatever. It's virtual, but it's not on Zoom. Ooh. And we're going to talk about it as soon as I introduce you to my fabulous guest, Paolo Presta, who's sitting here in front of me. But first, I have a big announcement here at the Love Speaks series podcast. I have a sponsor. Okay, ready? I am beyond thrilled to announce a brand that I have admired for years, Red Spade Environments, as the sponsor of the Love Speaks series podcast. Red Spade is the premier residential landscape architecture and design build firm based in Winnetka and Chicago. It is the true hands-on approach of the Red Spade team, which differentiates them. They listen and only then provide you with creative and meaningful design solutions. They embrace a practical approach to functionality and sustainability and will only provide fair and honest advice to create real value for your home. Large or small, hardscape, softscape, pools, patios, pergolas, fireplaces. Oh, it all sounds so good. Outdoor kitchens and sustainable gardens. The Red Spade team has done it all. So what's on your wish list for 2021? Locally grown, locally sourced, the Red Spade team are your neighbors, deeply rooted in the communities in which they live, work, and play. You are likely to see them at the grocery store or on the baseball field, as you are to see them with their boots on in your backyard. They are seasoned professionals who will bring 30 years of landscape architecture design and construction experience to make your vision reality. Extend your indoor living space and create your own unique outdoor environment. Give a call or shoot a note to have them stop over for your initial coffee chat. Red Spade Landscape Design Consultation Installation Management. Let Red Spade bring your environment to life. I love Red Spade because they make me feel like home. So that's the big announcement here at the Love Speak Series podcast. I have a sponsor and I'm so excited. And of course, the red piece, you know, it's kind of works. All right. It's all about love. Okay. So we are here today speaking of dreams. I was lucky enough to see my first guest. I act like I have 12. My guest. Okay. Let's just go with that. I don't edit here. Paolo, you can laugh. My first guest. I think I'm Oprah. My first guest. I was lucky enough to see my only guest today. His dreams explode literally in front of me. I had a front row seat like we all did. Mm. Paolo Presta had a dream which landed him in the Oprah Show audience, which landed him on the Oprah Winfrey Show as a guest, which landed him in Hollywood. And today he is the host of the online talk show, A Spoonful of Paolo, and brings love to everything he does. He is a Webby Award winner and 2019 and 2020 Telly Award winner, and is the keynote speaker for what I'm calling the Love Wins House Party that I'm throwing on February 20th. I couldn't be more excited to see him here at Mystery Street Recording Studios right here in Chicago. We are together, but we are 10 feet apart. Welcome, my friend, Paolo Presta.
Oh, thank you. Hi. Thank you. Hi, Sally.
How are you today?
I am good. And what a full circle moment this is.
I mean, right?
Seriously.
I mean, we could go on and on and on. I want to just ask you, start with this.
Yes.
How is love speaking to you today?
I think it's speaking to me right through you. Like being here with you, honestly, and feeling the love, I'm honored. I was excited to do this. When you asked me to be your first guest, I was like, is she serious? Like, she wants me? Like,
oh my goodness.
I'm just so honored. So it's definitely speaking to me through you. So
thank you. That's what makes you so such a beautiful human, because you feel things so deeply. Mm-hmm. And we saw that on the tape in the grocery store. So we're going to get to that.
Yeah.
And you feel things so deeply that you make others more comfortable with feeling things more deeply themselves. I think everyone feels like, oh, I just can't go there. I can't really show my feelings. And when that happens, there's so much that we miss out on in life.
Yeah.
And I'm a gusher. You're a gusher.
Yeah.
I think that's what brings us together. You have a huge heart. I'm drawn and attracted to that. But there is no other clip that I can think of, except for maybe when the guy was surprised when Stevie Wonder rose behind him on the stage.
And he turned around.
She's like, why is everyone so excited for me?
Like, I'm doing really
Stevie
good.
Stevie Wonder, right.
Yeah.
That pretty much goes down in history.
Oh, my God.
But your clip when Oprah surprised you at the grocery store, I want to get to that. But first, I want to say, how old were you when you had your first knowledge of what your dream would be that you're living today?
I think when I look back, it was when I was a freshman in high school and I was casted as the lead role in a play. It was called The Valley of Echoes. I was the clown who lost his laugh and I had to go through this whole journey of trying to find his laugh. And when I was performing, whether it was for the school or we would go on tour to the schools and the teachers would be there and the parents, and I saw their reaction and I just felt something that I never felt before. I always liked to be the one, like the attention, like with my family, my six siblings, my cousins.
Right.
But there was something about being on the stage and really just owning it and having fun and being there that literally changed the rest of my life of what I wanted to do. I don't know if it was to be an actor or it was just something in the entertainment business of feeling this anxiety of like the, oh my God, what's going to happen next, you know?
Right,
but
right.
Yes, and that was probably the first moment.
That's so cool. I really relate to that because everyone listening knows the story of me seeing the girl with a clipboard, so I won't bore anyone with that. But really, in college, as a senior, I tried out for the first musical to ever be produced at my school because they had just built this art center, and I quit the field hockey team. I thought I was an athlete. I quit the field hockey team just to try out, and I didn't make it. Guess what the show was? Chicago. Foreshadowing.
Oh, my God.
I was in Pennsylvania. I belted out all that jazz, didn't make it, but made it to the almost, to the final rounds or whatever. I had no business being on the stage. I had no experience dancing or singing. But when I didn't get the part, I loved the feeling of the stage, which is what you just said.
Yes, yes.
So it's like, well, how can I make that work for me? So I took an improv class, and that is what paid off for me at on the stage that I found in Chicago that I never had any idea. So your moment in high school is what paid off for you to be on the many stages that you stand on today, which is so cool. That's a cool thing.
Thank you so much.
Using that feeling of what's next.
Yeah.
And you really do build excitement with the way you interview people the way you ask questions and all those things. So before we get to a spoonful of Paolo, I was about to say a spoonful of Paolo. Tell us about the moment. I can say that as the audience team at the Oprah Winfrey Show, we knew you because you were always trying to get in the audience, and you did get in the audience, and our friend Siobhan, who worked with me, booked you in the audience. And so you got booked in the audience, and then what happened?
So I got booked in the audience, and let me just tell you, coming to the Oprah show felt like, I was saying this to Patrick the other night, felt like going to Disney. There was something about being in the studio.
Magic.
Yeah, it was magic. It was full of love. It was the excitement and anticipation and looking around. And I was so obsessed with you. I'm like, I don't know who she is, this girl with the clipboard, but I was obsessed with you. Like, I think of other jobs I wanted to do in the audience department of other talk shows because I always thought of you, the girl with the clipboard. And I was just fascinated. But being in the audience, just being there, you know, I looked over to one of my friends at the time and I said to him, I said, David, you just wait. One day I'm going to come through those wood doors that Oprah would come out every single day when she would come out from that left side. And, you know, and then, you know,
chills all over my
body. A couple years later, you know, you did, I came through those wood doors, you know, when she made my wildest dream come true.
Okay. So now you are in your grocery store. Yeah. Your parents own a grocery store. You were working there. You wanted to be in Hollywood, but you were bagging groceries or doing what was your role at the grocery store?
I was a customer service. So it was my dad's grocery store. All the siblings were working there. Yeah. My job title was customer service, smiling at customers. Yes. They come complain. You let them make sure they walk out of the store with a smile and they're happy.
Right.
But that morning when Oprah's coming to the store, I remember very clearly I was sitting down on the computer. I was changing the pasta labels because the price was increasing, the Barilla pasta. And I was just, it was a Thursday morning, and I remember I had a big pimple on my nose. It was so big. You cannot see on the TV because it blurs it out. So thank God for that.
Thank God.
But yeah, and then I hear my name and, you know, Paolo. And when I did that turn and I see her, and then the family and customers were all behind her, I was shocked. And I think my reaction speaks for itself. But I was in disbelief. I knew that she was there to give me some news, some good news. I didn't know what it was, but just having her, knowing that she came from the city to the suburbs, was like, oh my God, oh my God. Like,
wait, Oprah's in my grocery store.
Yeah, she's in the grocery store, Hoffman Estates, 45 minutes away from downtown Chicago.
Right, so with a crew.
With a crew. Yeah, it's not just Oprah shopping with a little, you know, her little green bag. No, no, she's there with all these, you know, her crew with
something's
the speakers
happening.
And something is happening. And I just...
Did you have any feeling before that? Had you, I can't remember, did you submit your story or did someone submit your story on your behalf?
What happened is that, so I've been writing to Oprah for years and years and years. I would, I wrote letters and then I would even go to Oprah.com, write my letters. But I think what happened is that one of my sisters wrote for me too, and they got a hold of her number. So they had told her the night before, hey, Lisa, we're going to be coming to your father's grocery store. We want all of Paolo's family there. We're not telling you why or what. You don't mention anything to Paolo because if you do, we will
we'll
not
leave.
Be there.
Well,
yeah, they were very, very tough with her.
So
then she had told all
my
siblings.
We know how to surprise people.
Oh, and it worked. And I'm glad it worked that way because I think that's what everyone saw on their TV was the reaction of being genuine and real, because like, it's just another day. I've been working at my dad's store since I was 11 years old.
Yes.
And I've been writing to her, asking her to help me because I didn't want to disappoint my father. And I knew if there was someone out there who could help me and kind of help my family understand that I have other dreams. It's not just being in the grocery store, you know, that I knew it would be her. And there she was, Oprah Winfrey, to make my dream come true.
That is, oh my goodness. I think that's so much deeper than, oh, I get to go to Hollywood and be an actor. Because what it really was, first of all, this was our wildest dream season.
Yep.
And we were surprising people left and right. And what she did for you, like you just said, is she allowed you, she verified your dream.
Yeah.
You know, she said, this is your dream. Press to family.
Yeah.
Like, let's see this. Let's all see this together. And there was no stopping it then. It was like the horse had been let out of the gates.
It's true.
However,
I remember when we left, Oprah and I, we went into the big Wildest Dream bus and we sat there. And I remember Oprah saying, she said, the one greatest thing was seeing the reaction of your father, because he was so emotional and he saw me be emotional. And I think it was all the years of me just holding everything in and just trying to please the parents and my father especially, that I think he got it. That day he got it. And it kind of changed the relationship for my father and I. It started, like, it was still progress, you know, but it we had to work on it, but it was the moment that really changed my relationship.
Describe
with
your family, the Presta family.
Oh my God, it's like, really.
So
if there was a reality show, I would be scared.
Patrick's like, can I take my mask off and tell you everything?
No, there's, let's
come
just
on,
say,
Patrick.
No, it's like, literally, it's like Keeping Up with the Kardashians with drama happening every single day. Sometimes I'm like, what is happening? But look, it's, we're Italian, we're very close. I have 15 nieces and nephews total. I have 6 siblings, 6 in-laws, my parents, and we know, everybody knows everyone's business. And then there's like, you tell her this, but don't tell the next person. Like, there's so much gossiping. So it's like, you put that all on the side, what I can say is that we're very close and that we love each other and that we protect each other.
Yeah.
Which is so beautiful. That. Like, we really do love each other so much. Even if we have different, if we disagree on stuff, you know, which may be hard, especially during this crazy time. But overall, we know that we will be there for each other. And I have to say, my siblings have been there for me with the coming out process.
Yeah.
Each and everyone at different time, they have been there for me.
Yeah. So I was going to get to that later, but now you just brought it up. So you had not come out yet to your family. And then this whole Oprah thing happens. Now your dream is alive and well, and you go to Hollywood. For those who are living under a rock and don't remember this episode, what did Oprah offer you?
Oh my God, she offered me a guest role on NBC's Will and Grace, a show that I loved and watched every week. You know, and it literally, like, being there, being flown to LA. I remember the producer, Julie Simpson, who I love to death.
Love Jules.
Yeah, like, she was there every single moment with me, and to capture that and to be there with this cast that you watch on television, you know, and like, who were so kind and loving to me. It was just awesome. And like, reading the script with them and then doing blocking and rehearsal, and then you get to the taping day where there's a live audience. That was the moment that I was really waiting for, because you know, I had my one line.
What was it?
It was, "Hey Will, do you have time to go over the Morris case?" And then that was the line. And then I had, then they gave me another line, which I was really scared when the director, Jim Burrows, who's like well known, very famous, he gave me the second line. And because I wasn't out yet, the second line was, "At least I'm not the second gayest lawyer." So, and I was nervous to say that line because, like, I wasn't out and I was thinking of my father watching the show. So I really didn't want that line, but everybody was so excited for me, so I had to go along with it. But I did the line, and then and it was great. But
and you were playing a character, so it's not like
Mark.
You were saying you were Mark. But it was about the fact that you really had some truth to tell that you hadn't told yet.
Exactly. It was still hiding in me.
So when did that happen? When you got back from LA?
So it took a couple, it took a while. Like,
did you call Oprah and say, "You need to help me now"? Well,
like, I didn't want to over, I didn't want to use my card too much with Oprah, but I did think about that.
I know.
It happened throughout the next couple of years after that, where I learned, you know, even meeting Patrick, was that for me to really be my authentic self, and that I was not going to have things come my way if I was living in fear. And I had to tell my father was the first one I had to tell. My mother knew, because a mother always knows.
Of course.
They always know. So I really, you know, I told her, but it was my father that I was nervous. And I told him on Christmas Eve, didn't tell my family. I was going to tell my father, because they probably would have said, "Well, don't tell him. He's old. He's going to get nervous. He's going to get scared." But I did it on my own. We went to go pick up food on Christmas Eve in 2010. And I said, "You know, Dad, I have to tell you something." And I remember Celine Dion was playing in the background. And then he pulled over. The restaurant was right across the street. And I said, I had to make sure I said the word gay, because I was so nervous. I didn't want to go around it. So I said, "You know, Dad, do you know that I am gay?" And then, like, I got a little emotional. My dad got emotional. And then there was a pause. And then I remember he said, "You know, I just want you to be happy." And I think that's what anyone wants to hear.
Especially from their parents.
Yeah.
That is beautiful.
It changed everything.
It changed everything.
Yeah.
Well, you went through this journey for a reason, right?
Yeah.
And it's never a straight arrow. I will do this and this. It has a way of working its way out.
Yeah, you can't sit there and plan it. I'm going to do this. You have to, like, we always say, surrender it.
Exactly.
And it will come, because when you're full of, and you talk to us all the time, love wins.
When it wins,
it feels so good.
There's nothing better. I mean, that was a winning moment of your father just saying, "I just want you to be happy."
Yeah.
And here you'd been so worried that he wouldn't maybe say those kinds of words to you, but yet here he was, he did. And you know, you said a mother always knows, and we certainly do. I'm a mother, so I you know these things. And I am just wondering, I've heard so many times parents say, I'm so sorry, I have not heard parents say this. I have heard someone specific who was coming out, and I have had a really good friend who came out. It was really hard for him. But this one person said, as a parent, if you know your child is struggling and you know your child is trying to tell you, tell them.
Yeah.
You know, just say, "Hey, it's okay.
Yeah.
I get it." And that, I think, was a great message that I heard, that I shared with a family member who was going through the same thing. So I just think that. If any mothers and fathers out there, you know, first of all, this whole coming out thing shouldn't even have to happen anymore, right?
I know.
It should just be.
I know.
You know, we don't have to sit everyone down and say, and I'm gay. Yes. Yeah. It's like, I'm Paolo.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So, yes. Yes. And I think that that is a huge trail you're blazing.
Yeah.
You and Patrick are blazing. Thank you. And I absolutely have no doubt that you have touched other people in your life that watch your show, that follow you on Instagram. Mm. Oh my God, your content on Instagram is so freaking hilarious. Okay, we got to get to that. I just believe that you are changing lives. Do you feel that?
Yeah, as I get older, and I think it's because I'm really living my authentic life, being truthful.
Yeah.
If I wasn't, I don't think I would be able to see it.
Right.
But I want everyone to know what I've been through. And then, and I've learned this from my husband, is that you cannot, like, these things cannot be coming your way if you're not living your authentic life. So I feel like the last 8 years have been so wonderful because I am who I am, and I'm not living in fear. You know, it's all love.
You are wearing your rainbow so proudly today.
Yes, I am, right?
I'm wearing my heart. You're wearing your rainbow. we are. I don't know what's on your shirt, Patrick. Is that a lion?
A panther.
Okay.
Oh, Patrick.
So then you have all this success. You start doing entertainment reporting, red carpet reporting.
Yeah.
How did A Spoonful of Paolo come about?
Well, I worked on a few talk shows. When I moved to LA, I did some acting. And, you know, I did General Hospital, Will and Grace, obviously. But then I felt like, I don't know if this is really my dream. I felt like this is the dream I always thought as a little kid. Like, I wanted to be like Tony Danza or Joan Collins.
Right.
Like, no, I think I had that visual, but there wasn't enough love to follow that path. So then I said, wait a second. I've been watching the Oprah show, every single and other talk shows my entire life. Why am I afraid to go in that box? So I said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to try to get a job on a talk show. So I worked on Ellen, and then I worked on The Talk. And then I think working with those shows literally changed my life because I saw things that I've always wanted to do. And it was that one day coming home from working on The Talk, I was the assistant for all the ladies on the first season.
Mm-hmm.
And I came home to Patrick. He was laying on the couch. And I said, I want to do it. I want to have like my own talk show. I just didn't want to wait for the phone to ring.
Right.
Like
we have to make your dreams happen.
This. Like, let's make this happen. And then that was the start of.
Well, that's what's so incredible about the world we live in today, for better, for worse. But let's just talk for better.
Yeah.
That we all have a platform and we all have an audience. And, you know, it doesn't matter if your audience is, you know, in the millions or in the twos, you know, people, if you have a message and people have gathered to hear from you, that's worthy and value, and that's your audience. And so you have the power to do it. And so you made it happen out of your apartment in Chicago, but also your apartment in LA.
Yeah.
And Patrick, you can join us if you want to just jump in. But if you can speak on Patrick's behalf, like he's your producer. Like you needed a cheerleader to say, you go, okay, I want this to happen. And I get it because I have so many dreams too. I'm like, let's make this happen. I keep telling my kids, I have a son who's a director. I have a daughter who's in marketing. And I have another daughter who's a talk show producer. I'm like, can we not just have our own production company?
Yeah.
Like, why?
Yeah.
You know, and so like, you know, and they're like, no, mom. But you, instead, you had someone like Patrick who was like, Yeah. Let's do this.
Yeah, because, you know, there would be no Spoonful without Patrick, and he knows this.
Exactly.
And we've talked about this every single time because I feel like we're so different, but yet when we come together, you get A Spoonful of Paolo. You have him who's, I call him my Sherry Salata. He's like one of the best executive producers.
He's
like,
good.
He knows how to edit. He does the lighting. He does the sound. He does, you know, he does the photoshopping. He does it all. And then for me, it's like, I do the booking of the celebrities, and then I do the hosting and the research. And then we come together and voila, you get this.
Right.
And it's so much fun. Like all 10 years we've been doing this, and it for us it literally gets better and better each year because we're finding ourselves, who we are and what we want to talk about, and what do they want us to ask, you know, our guests. So it's been one of the best things that has for both of us.
And you're in your 10th season.
It's our 10th season,
and you get celebrities that are huge, like big celebrities.
I work hard at it.
How did that? Who was your first big celebrity booking?
Florence Henderson.
One
of my idols.
Oh my God, I know.
Before she passed away, obviously. Right. But it was, 2011. We interviewed, she was our first guest. And she was on the Gayle King show when Gayle had her show on OWN. And Florence Henderson said, hey guys, I love writing to my fans. Write to me. And she gave her email address. And I said, oh, maybe this is a way I can, because that shows you what kind of person she was.
Right.
So then I sent her an email and I said, Florence, my name is Paolo. And I met her on the talk one time because I locked myself in the dressing room introducing myself. So I sent her that photo that we took with each other. And I said, I would love it. I'm doing a web show. It would be an honor if you would be a guest. I'm just starting this. These are the guests I have lined up, Sherry Salata, Leah Remini, and it would be you. And, Sharon Osbourne.
Sharon Osbourne, right.
Yeah, she was our first guest. And so then we were at Target when Florence Henderson, God bless her soul, when she wrote to me and she said, Paolo, I would love to be a guest on your show. That shows you what an amazing person. And if I didn't
were
watch
you screaming
Gayle
in
King,
Target?
Yeah, we were in aisle 17, I think. And I go, Patrick, I was looking for him. I'm like, what's he doing? He's in the shaving aisle. Get over here.
That's hysterical.
Stop it. And it was just, I just like that shows you how great she was. And it was just, it was one of our first interviews with, you know, a celebrity.
Yeah. And in your apartment, right? In your
living in LA, so we went to her in the Marina del Rey with her publicist. She was doing some kind of event, so we got to we set up in this room, and it was just me, Florence Henderson, you know, the one who I love so much, and then my husband, and then her publicist, and then we did it. We had a great 30-minute.
How many cameras?
At the time when we started, we had two. Right,
two.
That was when we started. We had two, and they were just basic cameras.
Right,
and now we've upgraded it. When you know, you know, you do better. It was great.
That is so incredible. So since then, you've had Oprah, you've had Carol Burnett, you've had Rosie O'Donnell, you've had, I mean, the list. Did you have Naomi Campbell?
I tried to, but they said no.
Oh, bummer. Come on, Naomi.
Yeah, I know Naomi.
These are, and you're a web show.
Yeah.
Okay, which is awesome because you're doing it.
But it's not like.
It's not,
the Oprah show or the Tamron Hall show or something. Yeah,
you had Tamron Hall.
Oh, yeah, we did have Tamron Hall. Thank you.
And so you're getting these guests and they're saying yes.
Yeah.
What are you going to do with that next? Do you feel good where you are because it's so successful? Are you going to shoot for your, you know, are you going to try to have a deal or you try to make it bigger?
I think the door is always open to make it bigger. I just love where we're at right now because I feel like every year it changes.
Yeah.
Like right now we're all doing interviews through Zoom. And I looked at Patrick the other day. I'm like, can you believe it? We're doing Zoom interviews just like the other shows are, just like Kelly Clarkson, just like Tamron Hall, just like Live with Kelly and Ryan. We're doing this. We're having like Rosie O'Donnell, Vanessa Williams, Tyra Banks.
Right.
They've all been on A Spoonful of Paolo these last couple months, you know, over Zoom. And I'm like, that doesn't happen. Like I've had so many friends who've tried to have, like I had a friend, I won't say his name, but he tried to do a country talk show. And he asked me, I remember I gave him this whole advice.
Right.
I gave him my notes and he tried it, but he didn't go with it because it's really hard booking celebrities.
It's so hard.
But I always say my key word that I always have is persistence. You have to be persistent.
You are persistent.
Yeah.
We know that from Oprah.
Oh, like, yeah. You know, I kept writing all those letters.
You are
yeah.
persistent.
Yeah.
And yet we never put you on our crazy list.
And I told Patrick.
You are a loving, persistent human.
Hearing you say that makes me so happy because when I would wait in line and like come into like the hallways and see you, I'm like, I wonder what Siobhan and I wonder what Sally was thinking of me. Like, so you're like, oh, there's that crazy boy in the audience again. He's here again. He's here with his mom. The next week, he's here with his friend. Now he's here by himself.
No. That is the truth is that you became family. Like, that's it. Like,
oh
we adored you from the get go. But yeah, there are some people that were like, but you, nope. No, not crazy, just persistent.
Thank
Very
you.
Persistent.
Thank
and you, you have to be. I mean, we were just talking earlier before we started. It's like you the no's, what no launched you in your life? It doesn't have to be about
You know what you know, no launched show. Me? I'll tell you what it was. It was I tried when I worked on Ellen, I was only temping, and then they were gonna interview me for full-time position. And I was interviewed to be part of the audience department. And that's when I always thought of you. And Claudia, who I'm still friends with today, who I love her to death, but I didn't get that job.
Yeah.
And that no, like really at that time, I was so sad. I remember he came home from where he worked at Burke Williams. I was so sad. I remember like, what am I going to do? But that no led me to being on The Talk and then it led me for Spoonful of Paolo. So just when you think that no, you think it's the end of your life. It's not.
It's not.
It's not.
It
turn that no around. Say, okay, they
exactly.
said no. Now let me go in a different direction. Then.
Right. And it is pushing you. You have to. You can't, you have no other choice but to go in another direction. And usually that's the direction that is the right direction.
Yeah.
And I love a good no.
Yeah. And you know, she's my friend on Facebook, Claudia, and I know she sees my stuff. She's like, oh man, I should have hired him. It's too late. It's too late, Claudia.
Too late, Claudia.
And now you don't even have an audience.
Ellen,
so I don't know.
Right. Ellen Schmellen.
Yeah. Right.
You know,
Thank you.
We got Paolo.
That's right.
it's so true, but I love, like I said, I love a good no. And yeses are wonderful too.
Mm-hmm.
We love to win. But when we are told no, that is when we really have to get to the source of who we are, what we want, and really work. And this is work. Like this, like what you're doing, it doesn't just come magically. I mean, the truth is that when you were talking about being in the Oprah audience and that Disney feeling that you had, which Disney, the brand is magic, and Oprah's brand is love. However, it really is magic because I believe when a talented group of people come together for the same purpose and they're led by someone who embodies that purpose, magic just happens. So you were bestowed magic as soon as you walked in the building. And that is what you're doing with A Spoonful, because you know, okay, so it's two people, but at the same time, you embody the purpose and it's and the person that's running it, which is you, because you are the brand. And you and Patrick are in sync with each other. And the other thing is, what clearly you said is that if you want your dream to work, and we're talking about dreams, your team cannot act or think like you or look like you. You gotta bring on the people who have the talents you don't have, which you clearly did. Patrick.
So
you met Patrick. What year did you meet? Did you guys meet?
2007 in May.
So you met. Okay. That was before Wildest Dreams.
It was after, because Wildest Dreams was 2004.
Oh, it was after. Wildest Dreams was 2004?
2004, yeah. And I met him in 2007, so he saw my Oprah episode. Okay. So, you know, but I met him. It was in May 2007. I was tutoring kids that one morning, and then I wanted to get a massage. I called Burke Williams. It's a really beautiful spa in Santa Monica. They have a few of them. And then he was my massage therapist, and that's the first time that I saw him. Yeah.
I didn't know this.
Yeah, he's my massage therapist.
Oh, my gosh. Do you still practice massage?
He's done, thank God.
Oh, but maybe on you, I hope.
Oh, on me, of course.
Of course. Wow.
Yeah.
And that was it?
Well, the first time I went to Burke Williams, I wasn't sure if he was gay, so I went the second time and the third time, and then I got a better feeling of it. Like, just I was trying to talk more with him.
Right.
Because I knew there was something there. Like, it was just his smile. He was so sweet.
Right.
And so polite.
Right.
And, you know, and so when I went the third time, then I asked him if we wanted to get coffee. And then that same night he called me and we went to this coffee shop in Los Angeles, and we were there for 3 hours talking, talking and talking and talking and talking and talking.
Right.
And that was the beginning.
That was the beginning
of where we are today.
So your dream is you are married.
Yeah, we're married.
You have this partnership both romantically, spiritually, physically, and work-wise. What's that word? I was going to say financially, but whatever. Yeah. Like you're working together. Your dream, you are making your dream happen. Yeah. Your dreams, own both of your dreams happen together. Your wedding clip that you sent me, and you're, like I said earlier, I chose you as a keynote speaker for the Love Wins house party, which I'm having in February. And we're recording this now in January, and I pray to God that everything goes according to plan so that we can celebrate and have love win.
Yeah.
Because love did win in November. Mm. It won fair and square. And the people spoke, and I really just believe that we all, after the year that we've had, the struggles of everything, from, you know, obviously living through this pandemic that we're still in, and the political climate and, you know, racial injustice and people just struggling to make ends meet. There is so much out there that is causing us to just quit.
Mm-hmm.
And, every little moment, every little piece of what we can bring to the world with love makes it all worth it. Yeah. And so love doesn't pay your bills, but love wins in the end. Like love wins when your dad said, I just want you to be happy.
Yeah.
That's love winning. So love wins when you go get a massage and you see a man that's kind and you're like, I like him.
Mm-hmm.
And now you have coffee and you're talking. And now you say to him years later, I want to have my own talk show.
Yeah.
And he doesn't look at you like you're crazy. He looks at you like, great, let's do it. I mean, that's love.
I know.
That is so love. So tell me about your wedding, because I hope that you're going to talk about that in your keynote, because we're going to play a clip and the clip that you sent me, which is your minister or priest talking about
Tell Reverend me, Ed tell, Bacon.
Yeah, it was, oh, Ed Bacon, yeah, of course. Sorry.
No worries, yeah.
I don't think I knew that was Ed Bacon.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, now I get it. Do I need a release from him? I love Ed Bacon.
Ed Bacon likes being in the spotlight.
I know.
Yeah, so he's fine.
Oh, wow, that went right over my head. I did not know that was Ed Bacon. That's really funny. Okay. Well, it wasn't Marianne Williamson.
No.
I know that.
No, it wasn't Ed Marianne. Bacon. It was Ed Bacon.
Okay, go on.
You know, that our wedding, you know, was just so special. I think for me, there were two reasons. One of it, I think, was having, besides my family, it was my parents, them walking me down the aisle. Literally, when I came out, I thought, like I say this all the time, I thought the dream of getting married was gone because I have, you know, there were two older siblings. They were married and I thought I was the next one supposed to get married. And I was engaged to a girl and who's my best friend today. She's my Grace. And she was part of our wedding. But
Is her name Grace?
Her name is Casey.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. But she's like my Grace.
She's your Grace.
She's my Grace. And she's my best friend. But I feel like I thought that, okay, that dream is gone because gay people,
right,
we can't get married. Like there's this, you know, we've been fighting for this right to get married, to be seen as just like our brothers and sisters.
Right.
So I think having my mom and dad walk me in this Episcopalian church, it was a traditional church. It was so beautiful. Mm-hmm. And I remember that moment of holding my mom and my dad was so present that moment.
Mm.
And I just I can feel it, you know, just right now.
Yeah.
So that was one that meant the world to me.
Yeah.
I think another moment too was saying our vows because like I said, we fought to be there.
Mm-hmm.
Like here I am, the man that I love.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so much, you know, and, you know, then we were facing each other saying our vows, and it was just so beautiful because we meant every word because, like I said, we had to fight to get there, you know, we had to fight to get there. And here we are with our family and our friends. And a lot of them, it was their first time at a gay wedding. So they're like, what are we going to expect? There's going to be like rainbows all over, like, you know, they're like, what's going to happen? So it was just, I keep hearing till today from everyone who attended, even Ed Bacon, that it was one of the most beautiful weddings because you felt the love in the room.
It's palpable. Yeah. I mean, I just, from the 1 minute clip that I saw, I just keep it in my phone. I watch it every once in a while. I sent it to a family member who needed to see it. And they were very, very happy to have that because it just reminds us all that we all deserve to have love.
Yeah.
And no one should ever have to think they can't walk down an aisle just like everybody else. And to have that moment, I'm sure, with your parents will stay on your heart forever.
Ever.
And theirs.
Yeah. Yeah.
And theirs.
Every time I watch the video, like, and I see my parents, like, I literally, I say to my father, who came to this country in 1965 from Italy, you know, and he, who had no education in America, but he had his education from being in Italy, but he's come such a long way. So if anyone out there who's struggling with coming out, I'm always like, there's hope. There's hope if you just be your authentic self, be who you are. You know, at some point they will come around because they do. Every parent wants to see their kid happy, you know, but also surround yourself with people who accept you for who you are.
And you not have to find a community.
Find that community.
Even if it's one person,
everything.
You got to find your Katie.
Exactly.
You got to find that person.
Yeah.
And
so true.
You know, I have a dear, dear friend who's sponsoring the Love Wins house party. He and his husband are sponsoring it. It's just the story. He was my first roommate in Chicago, Henry. He's my Henry. And Henry was married to Marcy, who's one of my closest friends, because I met her because he was my roommate. They were boyfriend and girlfriend.
Mm.
They married. They, you know, were together for like 7 years. They divorced. He came out. He's married to Bob. Love Bob.
Cool.
And Marcy and Henry are the best of friends and they love each other. And so your story, having dated a woman, was engaged to her. I'm sure she was very sad when the engagement broke off.
Yeah.
But just like we said earlier, nose open doors.
Yes.
I'm sure Katie is very happy in her life, as is Marcy, as is Henry, as is Paolo, as is Patrick. And, you know, being truthful is the only thing. This is the only option for happiness.
It is.
And so just because you're truthful doesn't, yes, you might hurt someone.
Yeah.
But in the end, if that person really loves you as a human, they'll be right beside you the whole way.
Yeah.
And I think that is something that people have to really picture. Like when I tell people, when I help people who are scared to speak in public, I always say, you know, think of your audience after you've finished your talk coming up to you saying, oh, you were so great. I loved what you said. Think about that celebration. I always, when I fly, I'm scared to fly. But now I'm like, please let me get on an airplane. I always picture myself landing and being greeted or seeing the person or the work or whatever I'm doing, whatever I'm going to travel for, so that's celebration. Mm. And I say that anyone who is struggling right now, like you said, and trying to say, how am I ever going to come out and still, you know, have the people in my life love me, think of them celebrating you.
Yeah.
And saying what the words that your dad said.
Yeah.
And if they don't, you got to find your community.
It's true. Even with social media, like even today, this coming out journey, it's been about 20 years now. And I still, with social media, with Facebook, I do have relatives who don't accept me because, you know, with their Catholic religious belief. And it used to bother me so much. And my husband knows this. It would bother me like, God, they won't like this photo, you know, especially back then. Or they haven't said congratulations on our anniversary or our wedding, or even they don't wish me happy birthday because in their eyes, they think I'm living in sin. But I have to say to those who are struggling is that that's okay, because you're living who you're supposed to be, and you'll have those people who accept you and love you for who you are.
Right.
So it's like, I feel like it's their loss that they get to miss out on this like pretty fabulous person, you know?
It's pretty
like,
fabulous.
Yeah. Right?
It's pretty freaking fabulous.
Thank you.
Like if you were in my actual family, I would not need to have a friend. Like, I'm like, I'm good. I got Paolo. Like, right. I mean, I don't get it.
And, thank you, and, Sally Lou.
Honestly, your energy and your enthusiasm, your heart, it's huge. So I think that if anyone listening and struggling and wants their dream of living truthfully, just start telling the truth. Tell one person and then see what happens. So you are using your story to help others, which I think is what we are all put on this earth for. We are here to tell our stories. They're not always pretty. They're not always perfect. They're not neatly tied up with a red bow. They don't always have a middle, beginning, a beginning, middle, and end. But telling your story is going to help others. So I'm very happy about that. Do you pray? Do you have a daily prayer?
Oh yeah. When I used to go to work with my dad in the morning when I was like 11 years old, still today, my father does a sign of the cross when he gets in the car. That's the first thing he does. Mm. And you ask my husband, that's the first thing I do when we get in the car, I just do a sign of the cross. And that's for God to protect me, my loved ones.
Yes.
I do that. And then every night when I go to bed, I do a prayer and asking God to keep me, my family, my loved ones safe and healthy.
Yeah.
And I just have to, whether I do it, sign of the cross, I do it in my mind when I go to bed, but it's something I do every night. I've been doing it since I've been like 11 years old.
Right.
Just because I see my father. And then like, and to me, it's a beautiful thing because it puts me in a place where I'm just spiritually like asking, please guide us, help us, you know, watch over us.
And it's a ritual that you believe that probably, if you don't do it, you know, you're like, oh, I gotta get to that.
And but, my father, like, you're kind of the cross.
Exactly.
How low.
Right. There is that whole like, superstition. But at the same time, when something becomes so natural and just so like a ritual, it's really comforting. Yeah. I feel that way about prayer. I also feel that way about meditation. Mm. Because for me, when I'm meditating, it's just like, oh, that is just like, it's me. It feels like I'm just at home with myself, but I really believe it's God.
Yeah. We've been meditating a lot since this pandemic. When in the morning, Patrick and I, he has this app on his phone. And when we get up in the morning, we play, it's like 10, 12 minutes. And it just clears our mind, you know, because you know you're going to go through a crazy day, but just remember where you are. You're waking up.
Right.
It's peaceful meditation. Right. And it's really beautiful.
Okay. So you meditate and then you go into comedy hour because you're Instagram content, I'm literally dying. I like, can you produce mine? Because I do want to be Patrick!
Patrick, you're needed.
The pranks you guys play on each other. And I mean, who's the idea person behind this? This guy. Yeah. Paolo.
Yeah, but I need his approval. I need him to like help me. Like, okay, I need you, you know? So it's like, and he comes up with some ideas too. Sometimes he makes it, I have an idea, but then he thinks about it and then he makes it bigger. He makes it bigger. And I love that.
And your props are hilarious.
Thank you. Thank you.
And you're so cute. You obviously work out daily because you're both very fit.
Girl, look, this year, should we cancel our gym membership because we have not been there? We do little workouts at home, but we just, I don't know. I just feel like maybe we have to, I mean, we do eat pretty good. Forget Christmas, but this pandemic, you know, like, I don't know, maybe you can't see it underneath
my
sweater.
No, I can't. I can't see it. You're tiny. You're
good.
Both. I know. I mean, whatever. Tiny is not a word I should probably use, but you're very fit. You're
fit. Thank you. Thank you.
Tell us about your Nutella story.
Okay. So Nutella. Nutella?
Yeah.
Why I love it so much?
Yeah.
Okay. Anyone who follows me on social media knows how much I love Nutella because I grew up with having Nutella. Like my mom would make it for me going to school. And yes, I was made fun of when we would have lunch and I would, you know, whether I eat by myself or somebody be sitting next to me, I would eat my Nutella sandwich. And people had said the meanest things to me because they
How do they know it's Nutella? Well, why does it look like peanut butter?
That's what they said, because it's a chocolate color. So they didn't.
Oh, true.
Yeah, they thought it was something else.
They thought it was poop.
Poop, exactly. You know, I got made fun of, but I'll tell you, till today, and you know the salad, I use it, I bake with it, I cook with it. It just, you know, we sell it at my dad's grocery store, which I can get it for free, which is awesome.
Right.
But I love it. It's just something that I've used my entire life.
Right.
And, you know, and I've been trying not to use it as much, maybe just once a week now, because I get yelled at on social media. Paolo, did you read the ingredients? Paolo, you know how much sugar is in there? I know, but we're in a pandemic.
Right.
You got to find the food that fulfills you, makes you happy.
Well, I mean, and also if something feels like home to you, like, you know, I mean, like what environment pleases you and where you feel like home. I'm sure the smell of your family's grocery store makes you feel at home.
Yeah.
For me, the smell of even being in this, you know, recording studio or a television studio or a theater, just, I'm like, Bergdorf Goodman, also a good smell.
Yes,
leather goods.
Yes.
I just ride the escalator, take a deep breath in,
and then
I leave sometimes. haven't been to Bergdorf's in a long time. But I'm sure the smell of Nutella takes you right back to your 11-year-old self.
It just does. It was fighting off bullies. Yes, fighting off bullies with the mean things. But you know what? Now it's so big, Nutella, right now. I'm like, all those people who made fun of me, now they're probably eating it. So shame on them.
Exactly.
I'm happy for Nutella, but yeah.
You're a pioneer.
Thank you so much.
Oh my God.
It's so nice.
So your content is hilarious. You're really funny. Have you ever taken a stand-up class or a improv class or anything like that?
I've taken an improv class and I did pretty good. And because I like thinking stuff up at the last minute. Because I feel like if I have everything written down and it seems so rehearsed, and he always tells me, like, sometimes when I have so much details, it just becomes rehearsed. I just start thinking last minute. Just my isms, like what makes me, and put it in there, put it into the videos. And it's just fun, especially during this crazy time. I want people to laugh.
I want people
to just like get away from the news and come here and no judgment and let's have fun.
Right.
And, you know, and let's make the stuff that's happening in the world, let's make it a little fun so people know how dumb it is, but we're making it like in a different light, you know?
Right. I love everything you're doing. And I am still in your front row.
I know. And I love that.
Still in your front row.
Thank you.
And so tell me, what is next? What's exciting? What's new? Besides the Love Wins House party.
Oh my God, I cannot wait. February 20th. I can't wait. Oh my God. I've been working on it like crazy. I'm so excited.
Same. Can you give us a little, is there anything that you're going to talk about that we haven't talked about today?
Yes. And I think the key word is I'm allowing myself to be vulnerable.
I'm just going to go there. Yes.
I want to share my story. I want other people to know that, you know, this is my story.
Yes.
And we all have different stories. We all have different backgrounds, but we all, at the end, love wins.
Right.
And if I let the fear take over my life, I wouldn't be there. I would not be your keynote speaker.
Right.
You know,
no,
I'd
you
probably
wouldn't.
Be someone watching the keynote speaker.
And waiting. Please.
Exactly. But I feel like this it's a story that I want to tell. And you know what? I think you said this, you put this on Instagram one time. Sometimes I forget how much like that I got to accomplish. But when I look at photos,
yes, I do.
It's like, I look at photos, I'm like, wait, that happened. Because our life is so crazy. And, you know, we keep wanting the next thing. But sometimes I'm like, I'm holding this in. Like that moment that Oprah came to the store, I know people are like, you get sick talking about it. No, I don't. Because it's a moment that not only changed my life, but it's the moment that got me to where I am today.
Right.
And when I hold that dream, it just...
And it's pushing
it's
you
like,
forward.
It keeps pushing you. It's like the fuel in you keeps moving you forward and forward and not like...
Do you know what it's called? Momentum.
Yeah.
It's momentum. And I think all of us, we have a history of wins. They're right in our phone.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's just a great vacation with someone you love or a moment that your child achieved something, a moment you achieved something, you know, a moment you did something new, like brave, like for me, stand-up comedy was such a huge win for me. And so if you just look at what you've done.
Yeah.
And go, wow, I did that. I really believe. And listen, I pulled a diva move this year because it was the pandemic.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I have all these pictures of me on stages. I'm just going to throw some in a frame. And I took them to like get professionally done. And so now they're in my office and my kids roll their eyes. But I'm like, I was on that stage. Mm. I was on the stage. I was at that moment. And I don't think about the glory of like, oh, I was on a stage. I think about the hard work, the team, that we pulled it off, that we did it together, that we were part of history, that I worked for Oprah Winfrey. Like, how cool is that? That's amazing. And that is what we all need to remember. And you don't have to have a web show or have worked for Oprah. No. You just have to know that you're living your truth, and whatever you've done up to this point that you're proud of reminds you to be even more so move forward.
In our guest bathroom in our home, Patrick, we have this whole big wall, and he's put these photos of all our guests on Spoonful. Most of them, there's maybe like, what, 60 photos? Yeah, like 60 photos. And they're all in these metal frames, and it looks beautiful. Oh, so when
it's any like your green room.
Yes, it is like the green room. Like at Harpo, when you have a wall, like that's kind of our little green room. So like when we go in the bathroom, or our guests or our relatives, family, it's like, it's just like you said, it's a reminder of like this. Yeah. It doesn't have to end. You know, you keep doing it. And that's why we started doing Zoom interviews. At first I was like, oh, I don't want to do Zoom. Like you start judging it.
But then
it's like, I go in the bathroom, I see these photos, I'm like, well, why do I have to stop? I mean, every other talk show is doing it this way. So why not do the same way too? And really put persistence and do it. And that's where we're at today. So
You're doing it just like everybody else. Oh. What made you come back to Chicago? What made you leave LA?
I think it's my parents. And Patrick has been so grateful with this. You know, I'm close with my family. I feel like now I was in LA for 15 years and I have grown in LA. I like finding out who I am. Like I got to escape my family, do it on my own. So I feel like coming back here and being who I am and not going back in the closet is like the best gift. And I really want to take these precious times with my parents, you know, and just be in the moment. And like, he reminds me to be present when I'm with them. Because when it's the whole family, it's like a zoo in my mom's house, like before pre-pandemic. But now it's like when I get this quality alone time with my parents.
Like your Christmas.
Yeah. And I used to not, Christmas, we did on Christmas Eve.
Right.
I used to not like being with my parents when I was a young kid. But now as I get older, 44 years old, I'm like, I love time.
No one likes to be with people that you're holding secrets.
Yeah. It's true. That's why I felt uncomfortable with my dad growing up, because he didn't know the real me.
Right.
And now that he knows
it's exhausting.
It's so exhausting.
And now it's like,
so tired.
It's the best gift.
I feel like I'm reborn. It's like, I feel
you
like,
are.
Yeah, like I'm 45, but I feel like I'm 25 because when I came
you're
up with my
45?
Father, I'm 40, like 44.
Did you just
44.
Say, I think of you as 22 forever.
Oh my God, I think of you 16, so cool. That's awesome.
Okay, that's awesome. No, really, that just shook me.
Yeah.
44?
I know.
Wow.
So I feel like I'm 22 because I feel like I started my life with my parents now, like, you know, like this whole truthful of getting married and a Spoonful of Paolo and my husband. And, you know, when we started dating, I had to hide him from my parents. Like when they would come visit me in LA, he would have to leave. And I remember one time my dad saw him with cleaners going to another apartment. And my dad said, is that the Patrick? And then my mom, who knew, she said, no, that's somebody else. And I'm like, I'm sweating here. Like this lie stuff is really getting really
it's
not good.
It's not good for anyone.
And it wasn't good for him. And also, it wasn't good for Patrick at all too. Right. It's like hiding him, you know? So yeah.
Okay. Lightning round of love.
Yeah.
Season you love the most.
Oh, spring.
Okay. Rebirth.
Yeah.
Word you love the most.
Persistence.
Got it. Oh, you're good. TV series you love the most.
Of all time?
Of all time.
Oh, Who's the Boss? Judith Light and Tony Danza.
You do love your Judith Light.
I love them so much. Yes.
Okay, now currently TV series that you love.
I just finished watching The Flight Attendant and we love it.
Haven't gone there yet.
Oh my God, it's so good.
Is there? What was that? I don't know what something just spoke to me.
I think when I said The Flight Attendant, the speaker and something said something.
Spoke to us.
It's really good. That's it.
I don't know what that is. Okay. Yeah. I'm in the midst of Bridgerton. I finished The Crown.
And
of course, Schitt's Creek is my life.
Oh my God.
So good. Yeah. Yeah. So, okay.
And you play the best Moira.
I am Moira. Sometimes I just turn into her and I'm am Moira.
Do you know, sometimes I go back to your Instagram and I look at when you impersonated her and you did it, Patrick and I, you did it so good.
It's something with my jaw. I don't know. It's so funny. You know, in 1990 when Home Alone came out, Diane Hudson was the executive producer of the Oprah show. Mm. And she always told me, you look like Catherine O'Hara. And I'm like, I do not see it. I think my grandmother looks like Catherine O'Hara. And I don't mean that Catherine O'Hara looks old like a grandmother. Yeah, I'm just saying, when my grandmother was younger, I put her picture next to Catherine's and I was like, they look alike. So I might look like my grandmother. I'm not sure.
Wow.
Anyway.
So cool.
But yeah, I don't try to be Moira. Moira just slips out.
She comes out. Uh-huh. I see it.
What is the thing you love most about Patrick?
His smile.
Sweet. You know what? I can't see it because it's under the mask, but see it in
it's
his
so
eyes.
It's so beautiful.
I've seen it before, but I see it in his
eyes.
That's
the first thing that made me fall in love with him was that smile. Because we didn't talk when he gave me the massage. I told you, we didn't talk. I didn't know if he was gay
or not.
But it was that smile of him being so gentle and sweet.
Right. Yeah. It's so sweet. I love that I know that now. I did not know that. And final question. What do you love about yourself the most?
That's tough because it's about me.
I know.
I think what I love about me is that I'm a sensitive person, which I think is a good thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're very sensitive.
Yeah, I'm a sensitive person and I'm just filled with so much love.
Yeah. You are. Yeah. I can't thank you enough for being here today. Mm-hmm. The hour flew and I forgot to set my watch, my timer, but I'm thinking it's an hour now.
Oh my gosh.
Because it is. Yeah. And I just want to say, when you showed up, I called you guys at the last minute. You know, I was like, "Wow, wait, did they not get an invitation?" And I called you guys to come to my book launch, which was a year ago.
Yeah.
And then you were in the front row and you were such a good part of that whole day. And that's the day that stays on my heart because it was like a room full of mostly everyone I love. And, you know, there were a lot of family members missing, but this community of people who just are talented, passionate, and putting good into the world. And I want that feeling again. We can't have it yet, but that's why I'm doing this Love Wins house party. And immediately when I thought of it like a producer instead of a speaker, I had my whole lineup and I'm like, Paolo, I want Paolo to be the keynote speaker. So I'm thrilled you will be there on the 20th. I hope anyone listening will be there as well.
Yeah.
Because we deserve to celebrate, to have some me time, kick back, and be inspired by all of our speakers. And I'm going to have some stand-up comedy, some giveaways, kinds of, and a DJ. We're going to dance. We're going to have fun. And I can't thank you enough for being there. So this was like a little bit of a teaser, a teaser for it. And thank you for being here.
Thank you. Thank you for allowing me to be here. I mean, honestly, I said this in the beginning, it's such a full circle moment for me because I've been so inspired by you and your career and how far you've come. So to be your keynote speaker, to be your first guest on your podcast, like honestly, all I could say is thank you. Thank you so much for trusting me and for allowing me to be here.
Oh my goodness. I can't thank you enough. I'm honored and humbled. So thank you. Thank you.
I love you.
Thank you. I love you back. Love wins.
Love wins.
Yes. Yay. Thank you to Red Spade Environments for being my first sponsor on the Love Speak series podcast. You know what? We're spending so much time in our homes right now. And even though we live in Chicago, there is an outdoor area to our life that we're discovering, right? And, you know, we're all eating outside. We're putting on our coats. We're using our garages. Red Spade can make your dream come true by actually creating an environment that's warm and cozy outside, even in Chicago or in the summer. So whatever it works. You know, the pandemic has taught us to be creative and think outside the box. And so that's what Red Spade's doing. That's what you're doing. That's what I'm doing. It's what Patrick's doing. It's what we're all doing. It's what Jeremy's doing. We're all thinking outside the box because we have to.
Yeah.
I'll see you on the 20th.
See you. I can't wait.
Thanks, Paolo.
Bye.
Bye. I have loved speaking with you today, and I want to speak with you more. So follow me on all of my social platforms at Live Love Speaks on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And if you want more stories like the stories we speak here on the Love Speak series podcast, go to lovespeaks.com and pick up a copy of my new book, Speak. Love your story, your audience is waiting to step up your speaking game and your human game. Check out my blog while you're there.
Sally Lou Loveman is a mom, speaker, author, former audience producer for The Oprah Winfrey Show, and founder of Love Speaks. Each week, Sally Lou and her crew have a conversation about how love speaks in their lives and how it can speak in yours. From kindness to composting, no topic is off limits. If you need a community to kickstart your heart, you need the Love Speaks series.
Thanks for listening. Your Love Speaks.